lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, now sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. Oh yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the song they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name. Do you believe that tonight? Oh yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh yes, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name. Oh yes it is. Amen. How many of you know that name is sweet tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say amen right then. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Glad you're here tonight. How many of you enjoyed service here over the weekend? It was tremendous, wasn't it? Amen. The word of the Lord just gets better all the time. It's camp meeting around here 365 days a year. I don't know how many services we attend in a year's time, but it's camp meeting every time we come. I'm glad to get to come to a place like that. I'm glad to get to come to a place that I actually look forward to going. Amen. Do you look forward to coming to the house of the Lord? Let's stand tonight. Give him a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Give him a real good hand clap of praise. Glory. Amen. Let's sing a little bit more of that. Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, it's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name. Soon he'll come in clouds of glory, saints of every race shall behold his face. Oh, with him we'll enter city, ever to acclaim, what a lovely name. Of every race.
shall behold His face. With Him enter heaven's city, ever to acclaim. What a lovely
you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We've got several prayer requests tonight. Brother Brad Yance, if you get ready tonight to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let me make this announcement. First of all, the men's meeting that's usually on up in December that Brother Barry Coffey and the Saints there in Hickory, they put that together. That has been moved to September the 29th through October the 1st. And you can get all the information you need if you'll go to HickoryBibleTabernacle.org. All the application, all the information that you'll need is right there. And then I'm sure in the library they'll be having some information in the next few days. If they have anything available right now, but in the next few days, that's just about 5 weeks away. So if you're planning on going to that men's meeting, they have moved, they've changed the dates. And that's probably a good thing because of the weather situation. I think last year kind of got in the way or something like that. So anyway, they have changed the date to September 29th through October the 1st. Go to HickoryBibleTabernacle.org if you'd care to get any information concerning that. I want to pray for the family of Christy Smith. Her brother passed away last night. So let's commit that family unto the Lord, that God would be mindful of them. I think I've got actually, they put the port placement off till Friday at 1 p.m. because of needing more personnel. I may never have it, but I ask you to pray anyway. Thank you, a healed person in Christ, Brother Keith Phillips. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Robbie Hayden sends this in and wants to thank the Lord Jesus for a quick recovery from bronchitis. It usually takes me 2 to 3 weeks to get over it. Thanks to the prayers of the saints, I was better in 3 days. And he says, praise the Lord. Brother Bobby, God bless you tonight, buddy. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins. He has a lot of pain in his side and in his knees. So let's remember him tonight as we pray. Sister Brenda Harmon says, my son and daughter-in-law are starting a procedure. They're trying to have a child. This procedure will begin on September the 5th. Please pray that if it's God's will, they will have a child. So we want to just commit that to the Lord tonight. I ask God to undertake in that situation. I want to pray for Sister Sherry Wiggins' brother, Alan Bruce, who is having a very serious surgery, and request prayer from the saints. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Pat Nunley sends this in to please pray for Clinton Gibby in Georgia. He is back in the hospital, very sick. If he's not better by this coming Friday, they're sending him home under hospice care. Also pray for the family for comfort and strength during this time. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Brother Baker has a very urgent unspoken prayer request. Let's commit that to the Lord. Philip and Tiffany Woodfin says, please pray for our friend Deborah. She had cancer removed, having chemotherapy done. Please pray that. For that, also pray for her son and girlfriend, all that they will both be saved before it's too late. Thank you for praying. May the Lord bless you and bless this assembly. So we'll commit that unto the Lord tonight. Brother Dow and Sister Donna, I want to turn in a praise report. for Sister Donna. She had tests done on Monday, and the doctors called and said they found no cancer. They want to give God all the glory. Also, thank you for your prayers and all your care. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. This testimony, Sister Barbara Gravely sends this in. Just want to thank God for protecting me and Brother Bird as we were headed home. We got about halfway. I started getting sleepy. I asked God to help me get to Withfield to get some coffee to wake me up. God let us get home safe. Just want to give him all the praise and honor and glory. We had a great blessing over the weekend, and the devil tried to take our lives as I ran off the road twice, and God saw fit to put me back on. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you for praying. God bless. We appreciate those folks, don't we? Amen. All right. Is this an update on you, Brother Keith? I don't know what. I'll go ahead and read it. I have the port put in on Wednesday morning. If you feel led to tell the people, the chemo starts on next Monday, the 28th. Okay, this is an old one then, okay? Well, we'll just continue that then. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's history, and maybe this other one will be history too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Want to pray for a request from New Zealand concerning a man that accidentally hit two pedestrians, one dead and one in critical condition. Court hearing coming up, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Also pray for Sister Sharon Binkley, needs a touch from the Lord. Let's remember that. And Harmony Sacker wants us to remember a little pet of hers that's very sick. So let's remember that tonight also as we pray. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says, thank you for praying for our neighbor, Matt Shepherd. He has been removed from trauma to the intensive care. Now they're trying to get him well enough to start therapy. Continue to pray for him. So we just remember all these needs tonight, all the unspoken prayer requests. If you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know we're serving a prayer answering God? Do you believe that with all your heart? Do you believe it with all your heart? Let's stand tonight. Let's give him one more real good hand clap of praise. Brother Brad, if you'd come tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Y'all help me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, first we just want to thank you for this opportunity to be back in your house again. What a wonderful name it is, Lord, that you have. And Lord, you're mindful of every need that was mentioned, Lord. There's just so many to name out, but God, as I hold up my hand, but Lord, you know each one, Father. They had confidence in us that we approach your throne. Thank you for the testimonies, Lord, that we've heard, expecting to hear more. Father, may you move up and down these aisles. You see every person that's here tonight, God, and you knew who was going to be here before the world ever began, God, and what need we would have. Father, I pray, God, may you anoint every part of this service, Father, especially the preaching, Lord. May you anoint my brother. He studied and applied himself, God. May you come out and speak things to us, Lord. And Father, may we hear and receive. Lord, may you have full control every part of this service, and we place these things in your hands. In Jesus' name.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service tonight, we pray this service would be just a tremendous blessing to those folks as well. I spoke to Brother David Richards just a minute ago. Brother David, where are you at? Raise your hand right back here. Brother Wes, since you baptized him on Sunday morning, he's on cloud 23 right now. Cloud 9's done gone. He is having the time of his life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Let's see if we can sing this song tonight. Redemption draweth nigh. Do you believe that? Help yourself sing it tonight if you will.
Go do the chorus first.
Oh, yes, now signs of the time are everywhere. draweth nigh. Sing that chorus again. I said signs of the time, they're everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air.
So keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. Oh, if back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer His coming is today.
Let's sing about it now. Oh yes, now signs of the times are everywhere.
There's a brand new feeling in the air. So keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. There's war and strife on every hand. Oh, and violence fills our land. Still some people doubt He'll ever come again. But I know the word of my God is true.
Yes, it is.
He will redeem His chosen few. Don't lose hope, for soon Christ Jesus will descend. I know
there's
signs of the times,
they're everywhere.
There's a prayer.
Say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Oh, isn't He good to us? Don't you love Him with all your heart? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. I want you to look who's sitting up here on this platform getting ready to sing a special. I want you to look. Brother Jackie Benton's going to give you a song tonight. Sister Tamika, if you want to come onto the platform, sing after Brother Jackie. We appreciate this guy tonight. Amen.
So, praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Little song that we sang for years, the wife and I. Amen. So, if we get enough good loud music tonight, I'd like to share it with you. Amen. A wonderful Jesus. He's been a real friend to me. Hallelujah. Amen. He's been a real friend, and I'm God's friend. Abraham was called a friend of God. Amen. I want to be his friend tonight, and he's my friend. Hallelujah. Amen. Give D. I was bound by chains of sin, needed someone to call my friend. Then I met Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Now his blessings flood my soul, since Jesus came and made me whole. Since I met Jesus, wonderful Jesus, he's been a real friend to me. Oh, what a Savior, he's all that I'll ever need. Heavenly power, my strong mighty tower, I'm talking about Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, how about you tonight? Wonderful Jesus, he's been a real friend to me. Oh, what a Savior, he's all that I'll ever need. Heavenly power, my strong mighty tower, I'm talking about Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, now his blessings flood my soul, since Jesus came and he made me whole. Since I met Jesus, oh wonderful Jesus, come to the cross and you will find greatest of joy and peace of mind and glory. All upon Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful friend. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus. He's been a real friend to me. Oh, what a Savior. He's all that I'll ever need. Heavenly power, my strong mighty power, I'm talking about Jesus, oh wonderful Jesus. Oh, now his blessings flood my soul, since Jesus came and made me whole. Since I met Jesus, oh wonderful Jesus. Oh, come to the cross and you will find greatest of joy and peace of mind and comfort from Jesus. Oh, heavenly, oh, wonderful Jesus, he's been a real friend to me. Oh, what a Savior, he's all that I'll ever need. Oh, heavenly power, somebody tower, I'm talking about Jesus. Wonderful. Sing it with me now once. Oh, wonderful Jesus, he's been a real friend to me. Oh, what a Savior, he's all that I'll ever need. Oh, heavenly power, somebody tower, I'm talking about Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus. Wonderful Jesus.
was just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. Before the calls of Christ, I've spent my days believing that what He have me be is who I am. As I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face as darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. For God so loved this world that He sent His Son to save us. From the cross He built a bridge to set us free. Still a war that rages and makes the sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed oh so far.
Turn to Acts chapter 27 tonight, if you would, verse 41. Let's watch mercy again, shall we? Display itself. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Praise God. Why? Because of one man. God gave them all to that one man. Praise God. Let's pray together, shall we? Anybody like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? God bless you. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that mercy truly said no. When we deserve justice and we deserve so many things that would have been detrimental to us, but mercy intervened for us. As we read the scriptures tonight, Father, we see once again mercy intervened on behalf of one servant of God for all of these people. They were not worthy. Even now, they prove themselves unworthy of mercy's divine intervention, that they're going to kill Paul and all the rest of the men. But your word had to be fulfilled. Father, I pray as we look into your word tonight, Lord Jesus, may we be benefited, dear God. You see our needs. You see the needs of those that are present, those that have streamed the service, those that go back and archive it. Whatever they are, may you be mindful of them tonight, I pray, Father. Speak to us from your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. It must have been quite nerve-wracking. Faith is a peculiar asset in a person's soul. Faith can set an individual on a course that cannot be deterred. It can set a person's soul on a course that there's no way for them to be able to get off of it. Yet, at the same time, in their mind and in their body and in their spirit, they can be so tore up. They can be so concerned about so many matters of life. And yet their faith on the inside is totally lined up in the presence of God. Y'all have been there. You know what I'm talking about. It must have been this way for at least Paul, Articurus, and Luke. For the soldiers, for the seamen, for the ship owner, it's hard for us to know exactly what they were thinking, the direction of their mind. Unconverted people that are able to enjoy part of the blessing of God, they can pull from that element and still not be changed supernaturally. They can be able to enjoy a temporary blessing from God and not be changed permanently. So their long-term thinking is not the same thing as a believer. A believer's long-term thinking is that of eternity and what pleases the Lord. A person who receives a temporal change or a temporal blessing, they get under the anointing of God, they get healed, they get saved, something happens to them. You know, the very next day, a week, a month from then, they're right back to their old type of life, because they never received a real permanent change. But we know that Paul, of course, and Luke, and Arcturus, and those believers that was on board, they was looking at this situation in a total different way, at the fulfillment of God's word. Now, every circumstance, every wave, every mass pole, every sail that was coming down, every crashing of every piece of wood. Can you imagine the angels of God that were dispensed at this shipwreck. It probably still holds the world record of angels being dispensed at shipwrecks, because we have no other record nautically of any that happened to such a degree of catastrophe to where that nothing happened and no loss of life. Now, the only way it could have been was a supernatural intervention. You agree with me tonight on that? It was a supernatural intervention, a miracle on a different course, a miracle of a different sort. Because it was the miraculous working in the unseen, yet seemingly reflecting itself in the natural world around them. People getting on boards, people getting pieces of, of the ship, or a door, or a mast pole, or whatever would float. Now this would be a natural occurrence. It would be something that happened naturally, but we believe it was more than natural. Do we not? It was God sending and dispensing His angels to be able to fulfill the promised word to this prophet Paul, that none of them would lose their life. Now, they've not only got the sea to contend with, they got this ship that's busted all to pieces, splinters flying everywhere, but now they have these men under this murderous anointing, by which they themselves now are also going to yield their instruments to be able to kill too. Isn't it amazing that Satan is anointing the waters, he's anointing the wind, he's anointing the mast pole, he's anointing the sail, he's anointing the soldiers. And it's all for one thing, to break God's word. Right? It's all about coming against God's word. If one person dies, then God is a liar. All of them don't have to die. Half of them don't have to die. If one person dies, God cannot keep His word. Oh my, how Satan loves to try to do such a thing. You know, you got to admire him. At least he keeps on trying. I mean, he's been defeated, and there is no telling how many millions of times that Satan has been defeated. He gets right back up, comes right back, and does it again. He is the most faithful church member that I've got in Happy Valley. He comes here, he's here when you all are at Walmart. He's here when you're out camping or out vacating or whatever more that you do. He's here every service. He don't pay tithes. He ain't no count to help pay the electric bill, none of that sort of thing. But he's here. I call him a liar. I call him Two-Face. I tell him he's going to hell. I call him Lucifer, Slewfoot, every low-down sorry thing that I called him. If you even suspected that I called you one thing, some of you wouldn't come back for 6 months. I call him that to his face, and so does every other gospel preacher, and he comes right back to church the very next service. I plan on busting his hide tonight. I plan on turning him every way but loose. I plan on casting him out. I plan on running him out of here. I want to drive him away from your lives, and guess what? He'll be right back here Saturday night again. And yet the Bible tells us what's going to happen to him. Can he read over in the back of the book the same as we can and find out he's going to wind up in the lake of fire? He's going to be destroyed, and yet he behaves himself as a winner. We look over in the back of the book and the Bible tells us, hallelujah, that we are the winners, and yet we look like, my goodness, we've got the molly grubs and we're the saddest bunch of people ever was. I'll tell you one thing, if the devil can behave like that, how much more ought the people of God to come in this place saying, praise God, I am a winner by the power of God. No matter what I'm going through, what I'm facing, I am more than a conqueror. My God said He'd never leave me. My God said I'm the apple of His eye. My God said He wanted to hang out with me. My God said He loved me. My God said He died for me. My God said He got up for me. My God said He's coming back for me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
And yet we look like this so much of the time. Pray for me. Pray for me, saints. That I can hold out
till at least the special singing's over. Is Brother Donnie here? He's not here. Oh, God, no. Brother Jim, why didn't you tell me? Oh, God, have mercy. You mean the pastor's not here?
Which is most important, for the pastor to be here or God to be here?
Oh, my.
This was done by a special allocation of the power of God to keep His word from falling to the ground. Well, if God would do that for a bunch of sinners, and no doubt most of these Roman soldiers later, they assumed their normal, everyday, wicked, sinful life. Probably these sailors done exactly the same thing. And yet the power of God would not let one little promise. It was nothing to do with eternal life. Nothing to do with them being saved forever. But it was a promise of God. If He would do that for one promise to a bunch of unbelievers, do you honestly think He's going to let one of His promises fall to the ground concerning a child of God? Oh my, so what happened to them? They all escaped to land. Why? Because God said so. So it was a remarkable instance of the display of the power of God to be able to keep His word and promise to His prophet's servant. I guarantee you one thing, they must have been really happy. Even when they got on shore, they might not have believed really who Paul was, but I imagine they was really glad he was on their ship. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad that I've got on board this Malachi 4 ship. I realize a lot of folks don't like this Malachi 4 boat. They'd rather be on a Benny Hinn boat or be on this boat or that boat, which is up to you. If that's the boat you want to get on, go ahead. I'm glad I'm on this Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10 boat, because it is a rapture vessel. It is headed for Mount Zion, which is the showdown. Amen. There's something special about a prophet's boat. If you don't believe me, ask Noah. There is something special, and God has identified it so in this day. Now, you know, the Spirit of God now has promised and kept His word. They're all landing on shore. They're coming in at different times. Some of them are swimming in. Some of them are floating in. They're coming in different increments and coming in at different times. And they're finally making it one by one by one. Mast poles are flying around. Sails are everywhere. The waves are coming down. The rain is pouring down. Euroclodon has not only stirred up the sea, but the heavens is now opened up. My, my, you talking about a storm. They're right in the middle of one of the instances of a great, great difficult situation, and yet Paul is right in the middle of the will of God. And God is fixing to display Himself in such a wonderful way. I wonder, friends, if we wouldn't keep the right attitude and have the right look at our trials of life, if we wouldn't see the Spirit of God come more vivid and more real to our lives, if we could keep the old bad attitude away from us. Notice this in chapter 28 now, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Melita. When they were escaped, now the danger seemingly is all past, and they're on shore. The storm, of course, has not stopped. And they knew that they were in the island of Melita. Now we know it, of course, as being Malta. It was an island toward the African shore. It actually lays between Sicily and Tripoli and Barbary. It is now called Malta. Now listen where this place was. I found this out. I thought it was so wonderful. There was a great abundance of honey found in it. For it was a very pleasant and fruitful island, bringing forth plenty of wheat, rye, flax, cumin, cotton, figs, wine, roses, thyme, and lavender. Well, I'll tell you one thing, that sounds like a pretty neat place to land right after one of the biggest trials you've ever been in your life. Now, I've never landed on the Isle of Malta in a natural sense, but I must say that after coming through some pretty difficult times, that God has allowed me in my spiritual walk to land on such a place spiritually. How many's ever been there? So you come through a great trial, and God, by His great Spirit, will allow you to land on the island of Malta. And what do you find? There's corn, there's rye, there's wheat, there's cumin, there's roses, there's thyme, there's lavender, there's honey, there's all kinds of things after this great trial. Oh, praise God. So here is cotton and figs and wine and all these things, many other sweet and delightful herbs from whence bees did gather the great plenty of honey. What a place to come after one of the greatest storms you've ever been in your life. And yet God would allow you. Now this place is not very big. Listen carefully now. It's about 20 miles in length from east to west and 12 miles in breadth from north to south. Now notice the storm itself. They was in it for 14 days. And they travel for many, many hundreds of miles. But once they get out of the battle and they come through and land up on this place, they land up on this little victory, this little island. Now, it's not a gigantic continent. Amen. And they're not going to stay there forever, but it's big enough to give them what they need in their time in the lap over going from one trial to the other. Don't you know our God knows how to set His children's journey? Oh, children, be mindful to know that your Lord is not going to let you stay on that ship forever and ever and ever. And the waves be on there and on there. He's got a Malta in your life somewhere. He's got a Malta in your life. It's got honey and honeycomb. It's got grain. It's got all these precious things. Oh, praise be to God. It's about 60 miles in circumference, and it was 60 miles from the coast of Sicily. So it's not like it's out in an unknown type of place. Now notice Luke says in verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, the barbarous people. For they kindled a fire and received unto us everyone. Now the Greeks basically regarded anybody to be a barbarian that did not speak the Greek language. So it was not that these people did not know left from right hand, but they basically classified them by the Greek language. So you were identified if you spoke Greek. This is the modern culture, dominant the science, the arts, and so forth. Then they looked at you as being a very educated, very up to par individual. But these Maltese did not speak the premier language of the modern day. So they spoke their own language, which was a little bit mixture of Asiatic and also of the African tribes. So they were quite different. So the Greeks then would have called them a barbarian. So it doesn't denote what we would think about a barbarian today. So the island was governed by the Romans, but the people were of African and Asiatic stock. Now he says, Luke says, when we landed on shore, these people showed us no little kindness, which is a strange term to us. But what it means is that there was not a small measure of kindness, but one thing after another after another. Oh, you talking about a time to be able to rejoice. You finally landed. You landed in on a door. You got in on a mast pole. You got in on a table. You slid in on something else and you swam in. And we all got in there and we're greeted by people that are treating us so nice. We're froze to death. We've been out there in the storm for 14 days and the wind has beat and battered our ship. It is now, it's currently raining, and they have come up and they built a fire. Not only did they build a fire and invite us to their fire, but they opened up their hearts. Don't you know, friend, how enjoyable it is when you're going through a terrible time and somebody is there to say, God bless you, brother, I love you. I'm praying for you during this time. May God give you strength. Oh, you know what that means, don't you? What does that do? That so helps us. That's why Satan wants to isolate you when you're going through something and convince you nobody loves you and you don't need nobody. You're getting yourself in a fix when you do that. You better listen now. Satan knows exactly that we need one another all the time, but we sure do in the middle of trouble. That's right. Now watch, he says, for they kindled a fire and received us, oh my, notice this, they received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now remember, this is about November. So it is the cycle, or the winter cycle, the solstice has moved in, and they're now cold. So the rain has blown, and they've got all soaking wet, and they light up a fire, and they warm them in. Oh my, children, you say, oh, Brother Donnie, I can't preach. I can't do nothing. I believe you can. I believe that you could take a few sticks of love, cross them over with a little bit of kindness, and take a little bit ignited by the power of the Holy Ghost, and be able to reach your hand out to a brother, sister, if you hear about they're going through a trial, not to be nosy, not to inquire, how's this, that, the other, but just say, brother, I heard you're going through a trial, I love you, I'm praying for you, let them come over by your fire and be able to warm their hands. You know, I don't care who you are, whether you're a preacher, deacon, trustee, whatever you are, every one of us need people to be able to reflect that they care about us. and they are concerned about us. Look, just because people ask you how you're doing, that don't mean they're trying to be nosy. They're trying to show brotherly kindness. That's what we preach around here. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all going to preach with me tonight? Now, they throw themselves into the sea. They swim. They land there. They're exhausted. They're worn out. They are cold. They're frozen. They're hungry. And my, they battle this thing. And yet the Spirit of God, oh my, the Spirit of God is able to move on people that are not even born again. Not even born again. To be able to give them a little something. You ever have somebody say a good word to you and you didn't go to church with them? They didn't believe the message. And you say, my, why did they do that? I'll tell you why they done it. I believe God put it on their heart. Because God knew that you needed it. Oh, my. Verse 3. So they're on shore. This battle. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I've never been so glad to be on land in my life. Am I glad this battle is over? And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, believe it or not, Paul was a working preacher. A lot of preachers in the message said, you go over there and do this, and you go over there and you go over and you. But Paul humbled himself and packed firewood. Now he's not trying to put on a show. I don't believe it's a facade of something that is false. I believe this is the kind of man he was. So here he is. Now, man, he's just come through this tremendous trial. Oh, it feels so good to be on the ground again. And they're starting to build up a good warm fire. And these Maltese people are bringing him things to eat. And Paul's out there picking up the sticks. And when he does, he lays it over on the fire. And all of a sudden, out of there comes a viper. Now, these types of vipers, they don't just bite this way, but they latch like this. So they wrap their tail, their body right around you, and bury their fangs right in your hand.
Imagine him thinking, not again. I just got through. I just got through one tremendous trial. I'm heading right into another. I mean, I ain't been on shore an hour. How many's ever been there?
My, I just barely, I've still got on the wet clothes from the last test. I ain't even got to change clothes from the last trial, and I'm entering into another one.
Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah.
So Paul lays it in the fire, unbeknownst, no doubt, to him, that this viper was there. Oh, it comes out of the heat, crawling up out of there, and he fastened right onto Paul's hand and wrapped himself around Paul's arm.
And when he does, and he starts pumping the venom into Paul's hand.
Was he afraid? Did he feel fear? As a human, I think you did. Now, if y'all going to sit there and tell me you wouldn't feel no fear for Copperhead or Rattlesnake, God to hell to you, I'll say, what you been taking for church? What you been drinking? Now, remember, God is not the author of such things, but God will allow negative things to happen to good people so that he might be able to bring his glory out of that negativity.
Glory.
Oh, hallelujah. Now remember, Paul, we've been weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks as we've been going through the book of Acts here, and we haven't seen any miracle, as the world would term it as a miracle, but now we're fixing to see one mighty, mighty miracle of God. But it is for a reason. It is to prove something. God don't just show signs just for the fun of doing it. work of God is going to give Paul favor in the eyes of these people. Now, according to our Lord's word, he said if they will take up serpents, they'll not harm them. Right? If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not kill them, it'll not harm them. So Paul, as he's there, Brother Terry, maybe momentarily the human part, who knows exactly how it was, but he looked at it just an instant. He shook it off in the fire. Now Luke was a doctor. But we don't find Paul running for the venom bag or the antidote. Right? No doubt Luke was a well-trained physician, and you can tell by his reading, or writing, rather, the way that he does, the terms that he used, he was a very educated man. But yet, he does not run up Paul. Oh, Brother Paul! Oh, no! Oh, no! Come over behind the tent. Come over behind the building here. That's a so-and-so viper. You know what does this and this and this. Let me treat you. He just went. I'll tell you one thing. I would to God, God would help me anoint me tonight with the Holy Ghost. So whatever's grabbed a hold of your life today or this week, you'd be able to do the same thing to that devil. Glory! If it's sickness, if it's disease, if it's trouble, that devil trying to bite a hold of you and pump his venom into you, you can take a hold of that man and say, look here, devil, get out of here. Go on back to them flames where you come from. It's fixing to please God to perform a miracle to give this man favor in these people's eyes. Now, they didn't know it yet, but there's a church on Malta in seed form. Since that very visit of Paul on Malta, from that very day until today, Christianity has been on Malta in one form or another for 2,000 years. I guess the devil wish he'd have kept his big fat mouth shut. God, notice now, they needed display. God didn't choose to use just words. You understand? Sometimes God would use words and that would be sufficient. Other times God would say, nope, they need more than words here. They need to see something. Oh my. Wow. Praise be to God. So God allows that old viper. And you imagine the Satan boy, he pumped that old guy's teeth plumb full of poison. He sinks him down there and says, I got him, I got him, I got him. Paul said, you ain't got me, I'm going to Rome. No sooner than that storm passed, and he's got another one. Now, look, friends, I'm not belittling anything that any of you go through. But to be honest, have any of y'all ever been through something like this? Listen to this in Victory Day. I imagine some of his enemies, Brother Bam's talking about Abraham, walked around and said, Father of nations, how many children do you have now? Don't make any difference how many I have now. I'm a father of nations and that's all. How do you know? God said so and that settles it. That's just all there is to it. God said it and that settles it. So along went Abraham and he finally come to that very time. You see, being so loyal, more testing. More loyal, more testing. How many's getting more testing? But do you interpret that as more loyalty? Or do you interpret that as disfavor in the eyes of God? Come on now, saints. More loyal, more testing. More loyal. You ought to memorize that. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your Coke bottle. Put it on your coffee cup. More loyal, more testing. So he brought him right back. Notice again, he says, now remember, when God has counted you worthy, when you have a test, now don't fail this, to get this, when you have a trial or a test, It shows the grace of God has found you, have found favor with God, and God believes. Can you imagine? God believes in you. You've only got half the picture if you think you need to believe in God. That's true. But it's not just you believing in God. God wants to believe in you. Oh, praise be to God. Don't you want to be the kind of Christian that God can say, I believe in Wes. I believe in my daughter. I believe in my son. Oh, my God believes that you'll stand the test. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't figure if there's anything he believes, there ain't no devils in hell going to stop him. Oh, he said, can I make it, God? Oh, I hope I can make the test. God said, I believe you can do it. As a matter of fact, I know you will. I believe you're going to stand the test. Oh, my. Remember, he did the same thing by Job. Satan said, oh, yes, I've seen Job down there. God said, he's a perfect servant. There's none like him in the earth. There's nobody like Job. He's a perfect man. Now, listen to this. He's my pride and joy. You mean God feels that way about his young ones? You remember some of yours when they accomplished this or that or the other? You say, oh, honey, I'm so proud of you. You make daddy proud. You're my pride and joy. Can you imagine Almighty God looking at us mortals down here and said, you are my pride and joy. You make me so happy. I am so proud of you. You are my pride and joy. So I'm going to test you to show you how much I love you. He's my pride and joy. And Satan said, oh, sure. He gets everything he asked for. Said, let me have him once and I'll make him curse you to your face. Said, I'll just make him curse you. God said, he's in your hands, but don't you take his life. See, God, Lord have mercy. God had confidence in Job. Don't we want one another, as we look at one another as brothers and sisters, I want you to have confidence in me. I want to have confidence in you. But man, I sure want him to have confidence in me. Notice he said, when it looks like everything has gone wrong, God has given you a trial. He's got confidence in you. He don't have to baby you around. You're not a hotbed plant of hybrid. You're a real Christian. God is giving you a test. See what you'll do about it. Amen. No wonder Peter said these fiery trials are counted a joy. It's more precious to you than gold. And many times we hum and haw. Oh, that's something God gives to you to overcome. He knows you'll do it. He put his trust in you. So God believes in you. God has confidence in you. And God puts his trust in you. God believes in you. God has confidence in you. And God puts his trust in you. Where'd that devil go? Show me the door he went out of. I'm going after him. Now, what about this beats all I've ever seen in my life. I just come through one of the greatest shipwrecks in the entire history of humanity. I never done nothing to bring it on. I'm totally innocent. What in the world? What kind of God am I serving that cannot watch out for me? And I get on shore. I finally make it on board. I barely scraped and raked and lived through it all. And I go pick up wood and I get bit by a snake. I think I'll just quit. I grant you, I'm not a rocket scientist. But with viper venom going through your blood, you might not ought to quit. I said, I don't know what to do. Everything is awful. Everything is just terrible. I tell you one thing, I think I'll quit. Not a good choice to quit right there. Not a good place to quit when everything's going bad. Not a good one. As a matter of fact, there ain't no good place to quit. But you better not quit when you're right in the middle of it, because he's the only one that can bring you through that. Amen.
He unloads the wood. When the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt, this man is a murderer." When I read this, I realized the barbarians wasn't all dead. They just seen this man. And now they're determining that he is a murderer. Now watch where they're coming from. Oh, children, don't you know the very embedding of right and wrong in fallen man's nature will be enough to condemn him at the day of judgment. Even though they were idol worshipers, they knew enough about the principles of the one God to know justice will finally catch up with you. The viper is called Therion. T-H-E-R-I-O-N. Therion. A beast. Venomous. Because of all the serpents, it's the most venomous in this particular part of the world. So they saw it hang on Paul's hand and wrap itself around him. They already judged this man's dead. I mean, there ain't no hope. He's gone. I'd say the devil probably is down in hell rolling, holding his sides. Got him now. Got him now. Boy, that old serpent got Eve. That old serpent got a hold of Adam. Now I've used another serpent. I'm going to kill this man right here. He's going to drop dead. Hold your breath, devil, till he does. Oh, friends, how many times has he said the same thing against you? Boy, I got him now. I got her now. I caused them to do this and that and the other. They're so down. They're so discouraged. They don't think they'll ever go back to church again. Smack that old serpent in the mouth and repent and make that thing right before God. Don't give up. Now, you see, it was a common belief among the Jews and among many other people during this time frame, that even if a murderer could not be proven guilty in court, that justice would eventually get him. And they believed, it was a common belief among many of these people, that probably a serpent would get him. So they looked at Paul, and they see this bite, and they're like, man alive. Boy, isn't our God is great. Isn't our God is wonderful. Boy, she got him, didn't she? Did you notice that? He lived. He lived. Come up on the water, come out to that. Boy, she got him. I did say she. Because that's what they believed. Notice now, whenever he escaped, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance, suffereth not to live. Oh my. Amen. Men often draw to this conclusion. When terrible things happen to good people, there must be sin in your life. Well, Charlie, something in your life, buddy. Brother Ron, I've always felt funny being around that sister. It's a judgment of God. But the same thing happens to them tomorrow. They're being tested. Oh my. Notice, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance, the Greek word here for vengeance is dice, D-I-C-E. Is the name of a goddess among the heathens said to be the daughter of Jupiter and Themis. She is represented in the Roman art and statues by setting by her father Jupiter. And when anyone does injury to another, she lets him know about it. Well, first of all, Jupiter is a pretty weak god if he has to have his tattletaling daughter tell him everything's going on. Ain't you glad you don't serve a mess like that?
I forget which one to ask for whatever. Jupiter and Zeus and Themis and Thomas and Romulus and Remus and everybody else. I'm glad I got one, God. Amen. I'm a simple sort of a guy. Man, I'd ask the wrong guys for the wrong thing. I'd ask the sea protection guys for vegetables, and they don't tell me what I'd come up with. Oh, my. So she is painted, when you would see her images, she was painted with a contracted forehead and a grave countenance and a rough aspect to strike terror in the hearts of the unrighteous. And also, of course, to encourage the righteous. So they are now looking. They are heathens, of course.
Oh, glory. But there's some predestinated seed that the Lord God had sowed on Malta.
There wasn't just honey there. There was honey there. His honey was there. There wasn't just corn there. There's predestinated seed there. Amen. Glory to God. So this deity, they laid it on this deity that she has now taken vengeance on Paul. She will not let him escape. But as most heathens, with most people in the day that we live in, they believe this today and this tomorrow. And then maybe something else day after tomorrow. So Paul shakes it off in the fire. Now, let me ask you something. If a man like this could shake a snake off in the fire, pray tell me, why didn't he shake them shackles off his hands and feet? Because he was not the author of the miracle. Long term, would not the shackles been better off of his hands and feet, Harry, than just the snake bite? That's momentarily. God miraculously done it and left the shackles on his hands and his feet. We don't control miracles. We don't control supernatural. Well, I'll do this and I'll do that. We do nothing. All we are is a conduit by which the Spirit of God can flow through us. Amen. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. What'd you do that for? My God, get off, you serpent, going back down to hell anyway. Leave me alone. Oh, children, I wish your face could rise there tonight. That demon of sickness and disease and oppression that's trying to affect you. Stand there by the fire of the Holy Ghost and shake him off and say, go on back down. Glory. What did God prove? He is the God of nature. Amen. Daniel was sowed into that lion of dens that night. God proved himself mighty over those lions. Amen. Let Daniel have a lion pillow. L-I-O-N pillow, lion pillow. No king come down the next morning. Oh, Daniel, has your God whom you serve, has he saved you? He said, oh, king, live forever. My God is moved. What did he do? Once again, this God proved that he had power over nature. Lord, children, listen to me. That same God, you better believe you're going to need him. He's going to have power over nature in you. Nature in I, if we are alive. Amen. By the way of nature, we ought to get older and older and older and eventually die. But my God has power over nature. And one day he will intervene and stop old age in our body and reverse old age and turn us back to young men. Why? He still controls nature. So he throws the wood in the fire and the snake lit it. Maybe goes over and gets him something to drink. Gets him a little something to eat. Picks up some more fire. And now everybody's watching him. Okay, now he ain't got but just a few seconds. That was a good bite. I mean, it went deep. You know, I'm seeing a lot of people die like that.
couldn't have much longer at all. So he goes past when they thought he should be nuts. They said he wouldn't last 6 weeks. They thought they'd be able to destroy this message with all their lies and all the capricious things that they've come up with. We're stronger now than we've ever been. Get some of these unbelieving preachers out of the pulpits and get some of these unbelieving people out of the pew. We'll let God manifest himself. They looked when he should have swollen. That's the way folks have looked at us. We ought to have already swole up. We all ought to just... But instead we're going, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And they're saying, they ought to be swole up. They ought to be all swole up. They ought to be so discouraged. All them preachers should be quit preaching the message now. We've done showed them enough of Brother Branham's humanity. That ought to discourage any of them. I showed it to them before you ever knew it was there. God done had us deal with that a long time ago. It ain't us swole up, it's you. We ain't swole up. We're fixing to go up. This must be a peculiar feeling. I mean, you're just kind of walking around doing what snake bit people do, you know, that have faith. You're just... And people say, is it? It's got a twitch. I seen an old guy 5 years ago get bit with one. He, you know, in the town, their tails. Did he stumble? No. He ain't swole. You know what the sting of the bite of a viper does? It sets him on fire. It sets him on fire. Right around the bite. It's like someone taking a torch and sticking your hand under fire. It sets you on fire. His hand don't act like it's burning. He ain't all swole up. Those of you that's waiting for me to swole up. Howbeit, they looked when he should have been swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. And they looked a great while past the expected time. Now remember, they've already said justice is condemning. He's a dead man. No swelling, no screaming with pain. No agony of fire. And they just keep looking and going on the website and clicking and clicking. And what are they preaching now? What are they preaching now? So they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Wow, how finicky is the mob? From a murderer to a god in less than 15 minutes. You realize this poison of the viper was used by the Scythians. It was used by Babylonians. And by other soldiers that would dip their arrowheads in the poison of the viper. And they would shoot their enemy on the battlefield. One slight touch, you was dead. Paul just singing, I shall not be moved. Got any water? Got any bread? Oh, praise God. Amen. I'm so glad to be on the... He ain't swole up yet. Didn't they lose a few people out of their church?
I think they do. I think they're down where they ain't already got enough to pay the light bill.
Well, tell the deacons that'll really encourage them Sunday morning so we don't have to sell so many chairs. Where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. Well, they ought to be dead by now. We've done enough damage and we've inflicted enough damage on this message. The only damage you've inflicted is upon yourself. We ain't swelling up. We ain't panting for breath. We're not out for the count. As a matter of fact, we're in the countdown. Glory! We're not going backwards. We're already at the top, number 7. And we're fixing to take a flight out of this world. Why? We're not swole up. Let people look. Let them look at us. Let them look at our church. Let them do whatever they want to do. They ought to be about dead by now. There shouldn't be enough of them left to do this and that and the other. We're going right on. Oh, if we leave, the church will fall apart. The church made it before you come. And if you leave, we'll still make it. With or without you, we're going on. The symptoms following the bite of a viper are said to be an acute pain in the place wounded. Swelling first red, afterwards livid, spreading by degrees. Great faintness, a quick, low, and sometimes interrupted pulse. Sickness at the stomach. Convulsions, vomiting, cold sweats. That sounds like Laodicea. Anyway, cold sweats. Sometimes pains about the navel and death itself. So here they're looking at Paul. He ain't got a one of them. And old Luke was nowhere to be seen. Now you know how God is. God wants this to be proven supernatural. They don't want Luke around there where he can say he slipped him some anti-venom. These old boys had enough sense to know, you know what, something going on here. One of the gods has come down among us. Well, I don't want to shake you all too much, but I hope Laodicea don't wake up too late to realize there's a bunch of gods among us. Come on now, don't get all choked up on me. What do cats give birth to? What do dogs give birth to? What do horses give birth to? If God ever gave birth, what would he give birth to? Brother Donnie, how can you say that? Because the Bible says ye are gods. Deity veiled in human beings. From the wound runs a sinuous liquor. Little pistils raised about it. The color of the skin as if the patient has jaundice. The bite of the viper causes an inflammation. Hot swelling which rises up blisters all around it. So they're looking for him to swell. No temp. Normal blood pressure. Normal heart rate. No pistils. No flushing of the skin. I mean, this guy, what in the world is going on with him? Glory to God. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench. This is the thought right here. Fiery darts of the wicked. This is what they was called in the Old Testament. When they would dip a dart or a sword or a lance or an arrowhead in this poison, they called it a fiery dart. So guess what? God's still performing miracles from children being hit by fiery darts.
How many days do we live here on this earth, children? And the devil dipping his poison, his ammunition down the poison of this world and aiming it in your heart, aiming it in your mind, aiming it in your spirit. And about the time he says he ought to be all swollen up, he ought to be about dead by now. But instead you're saying, glory to God, hallelujah. God is my deliverer. God is my king. What's going on? The same God of Paul is still delivering his bride. Amen. Not so much from the venom of the viper, but the venom of the devil. He dips his darts down in his poison and shoots you right at him. There ought to be enough in you to kill you. How are you still alive? How are you still serving God? Why are you not all swollen up, Brother Benton? Because you got something else flowing in your blood. What do? Brother West? Shake them off. The saints, shake off them fiery darts. Remember when the prophet tells us in 1961 when he saw that serpent, that old deity spirit trying to make Brother Branham God? That serpent come up and he said it bit him. Well, that's what he said. It bit him. But he said the blood was so rich, it couldn't take a hold. That's what it takes to withstand that deity spirit. Rich blood. The only blood I know rich enough to defeat that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody that wants to do that don't have the right kind of blood. Come on, saints. What is it? It's another fiery dart of the enemy. Whether it is sickness, oppression, and the devil dips it down there and shoots you, and he waits for you to get all swollen up, and he waits you to quit. You rise up and say, Lord God, somehow, I'm going to keep pressing the battle. I cannot stop God. I've got to go on. I've got to keep on pressing. What are you doing? You're shaking that viper off in the fire. You are shaking that viper off in the fire. We cannot be defeated. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. I've been pronounced dead many a time, ain't you? My funeral's done been planned. Not by my wife, thank God. My funeral's done been planned by so many that hate me and despise me. Oh, this will get him. This will kill him. Pick out your funeral songs, boy. What you want to be buried in. What you want this, that, the other. Well, the devil does the same thing to you, boy. This will get him. We dipped it deep in the poison. It went so deep. That brother that said that something to him in church, it cut him so deep. He'll never be back again. But look, Wednesday night, and there you are. And you ain't all swole up. That's what some people do. They come to church and they're all mad. They're all swole up. They've been hit. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. So they're looking and they're watching and talking about this. You ever said that like this? I thought that man was a murderer. He might be a god. I mean, what in the world? Paul might have even been wondering about himself, Lord, what is this? What's going on here? Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. This is typical for Gentile heathens to make a god out of a man. You don't find the apostolic Christians doing this, but you find heathens. Remember in Lystra how they took Paul for Mercury and Barnabas for Jupiter? Who did it? Heathens. People who baptized in the name of Brother Branham, heathens. Pray to Brother Branham, heathens. Make him the Son of Man, heathens. Make him the third Adam, heathens.
Lord Jesus, here we go. Now notice what happens. They changed their minds. God didn't do this. But they changed their minds. God is fixing to change their minds. Now you see, we can change our mind all day long. But if God does it. Now the minds of these Milanese people, God's got a handful there. Paul is fixing to stay here for 3 months. December, January, February. Just enough time to start a seed church. Now in their mind they thought this man is a murderer and justice is going to get him back. And they stand down there watching him. He don't swell. He don't die and all that. And then their minds are changed. God said that ain't good enough. They need a new birth. Because if their minds are changed now, they can change them back the other way. So something needs to happen from within the soul. Notice in verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island whose name was Publius. This is not a personal name, but it is more of a leader type of name which was handed to the Romans depending on their position. Whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Now listen, notice how Luke takes note of this. So he receives them and lodged them courteously. Amen. Amen. You don't buy God's kindness. Amen. You don't buy God's miracles. Amen. But when you do something for God's people, God will pay you back. Now this is quite a thing for 276 people to live in this man's quarters. He must have had a pretty big house. So he received them with courtesy, fed them, gave them a place to rest. Oh my, it's going to pay off in a few days to be the friend of the prophet. Praise be to God. Amen. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Amen. Come on, children. And don't say Paul laid his hands on him and Jesus healed him. Oh, Lord. Praise be to God. Now, the Maltese in these subsequent times were attacked with these types of things. Historically, it's actually written that this was quite a frequent type of attack that was on him. It was due to a microbe in the milk of the goats there. So the attacks would be intermittent. I want you to notice now that it's not Luke that goes in. It wasn't the doctor. It was the preacher. No doubt God used Luke in many wonderful things to do all kinds of things, attributes of the Spirit of God. But God does not want the doctor doing it. He wants it to be miraculous by the man of God, the preacher. So Luke, no doubt, knew dysentery. That's what this is. The flux. He knew exactly different things about it. But God said, no, Luke, keep your pen in your hand. Paul, you go in. I want you to notice how Paul pulls this together. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. Flux. Dysentery. There's the Greek word, of course, which is where we get dysentery, which was a bowel ailment. So it was a microbe that got into the digestive tract and it lay there and it would cause bleeding.
It would cause profuse fever, vomiting, all kinds of things that was with it. This guy was really, really sick. Now, what's God doing? We have a supernatural miracle of the snake they saw with their eyes. We now have another supernatural miracle that they're going to be able to hear about from this great man's house. This man's laying here and he's passing blood. He's vomiting. He's got this tremendous fever. This preacher walks in, lays hands on him and heals him. I imagine some of the folks in the message will blow a head gasket. If some of you all come up for prayer and I laid hands on you and said, I heal you in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
Now, do you all believe the word or do you not?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe the word is true?
Yes.
Jesus said, go out and heal the sick.
Amen.
Raise the dead. Cast out the devil. Can you heal nobody? Nope, I can't do it myself. But I've been given the power to do so. It will come through me as a conduit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh my, some of y'all are just kind of pondering on that, ain't you? Trying to figure. So the attacks are intermittent. It is a fever, profusely vomiting, and all this type of sickness. And it came to pass that whenever he comes in there, and this man's laying in this situation, oh my, and the Spirit of God anoints this man of God, and he walks over to him and say, viper, serpent, Satan, leave this man. What was it? The serpent in another form. He made the challenge and the Holy Ghost accepted it. And then Luke again, you know, Luke was down at the store buying something or going over here and going there and said, Luke is saying, why in the world am I missing all these miracles? Why in the world? God said, I don't want you in there because they're going to think you would give them a pill or a potion. Nothing wrong with being a doctor now, Luke. I'm going to use it. That's a great thing. But Jesus didn't say, these signs shall follow them that believe. They will inoculate with penicillin. He didn't say that. Hand out chlorophyll tablets. Oh, come on now. Some of you folks that's up on the pyramid schemes and you got all your vitamins and your yucca and all the things that you've been in there with the miracle cures of this and that and the other. Ponce de Leon looked for the fountain of youth years ago and he never found it and you ain't going to either. Some cactus out there in Arizona ain't got it. Some tree from down in wherever more. Hey, Tagonia, that ain't got it. Jesus Christ is the only one that's got life. Notice the method of healing, the conjunction, the joining of two dynamic powers. Laying hands on him and prayer. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Let's stand together. We'll read this in close. Verse 9. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. What's God doing? Proving this man's authority. Now God's going to do this first. This is the bait. The rainbow trout. Come on, little fishy. Come on. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. Yeah, you do. You just don't know it yet. Come on. There for 3 months, baptizing in Jesus' name. Teaching on election, predestination, foreknowledge. You say, Paul believed that? Read the book of Romans.
Yes, sir.
Now remember, historically, Paul had already written the book of Romans to the Roman church and he hadn't even been there yet. He's fixing to meet him here in Acts chapter 28. He had already wrote the book of Romans, and when they get ready to meet them, go to Rome on the Appian Way, here comes all of these believers by the hundreds swarming down to meet Paul the first time they've ever met him in their life. But the word had birthed them. Praise God. They had read the book of Romans and had never read the writer. Well, let me say that. They had read the book of Romans and they met the author, but they'd never met the man that God used to write it down. Amen. And yet here they were meeting the man for their first time, and God allowed him to stay there for 3 months and establish a church. It was a bishop, a Holy Ghost filled bishop, for many, many hundreds of years after Paul was there. I imagine the devil said, I messed up again. What's the matter with me? I keep messing up. Because you're dumb. You're lost. You're going to hell. And no, we ain't going with you. Glory. Praise God. That's about it. You imagine all the islands that there was for this ship to land. It landed on an island where there were some little seeds of God that needed to be birthed by that word. This was not the only island in the Aegean Sea. There was all kinds of islands out through there. Even though Euroclydon seemed in charge, I imagine God grabbed a hold of a little Euroclydon's ears and said, land them over this way. I got them seed there that need to be born again. Might have been some of them same people that looked at Paul and said, he's a murderer. And they turned around and said, no, he's a God. They was as ignorant as some of us were. Praise God. But then they began to realize, listening. There was a true and living God. A true and a living Savior. Praise God. Maybe you just come out of a Euroclydon and you find yourself with a viper hanging on your hand. Or you're in the cold and the rain is peppering down on your head and you're shivering. You're not completely out of the trial yet. And you go right into another. No, friend, that if our God has let you come through this, He has confidence in you. He trusts you. He believes in you. He believes you can come through the test. Don't you want to be that kind of Christian? Solid, firm in the promises of the Word of God. Euroclydon hits you, viper bites you. People suspect you'll never be able to make it. Oh, his daddy never did amount to nothing. His mama, you know how they was. It runs in the family. He'll never be nothing. You can listen to that if you want to. Or you can listen to God's Word that says, you're different from them. I've called you to be different. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Heavenly Father, how we have enjoyed this book of Acts. Lord, I think last year, whenever Brother Timothy was up there, Brother Ron's meeting, and Brother Timothy Pruitt had preached on the continuation of the book of Acts, I just got so inspired. Here it is almost a year that we've been rejoicing and feeding out of that one sermon. How you do, it's so wonderful. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much. I pray tonight, Lord, for your children, those that are visible, those that are not visible to our eyes. Lord, in their homes, their cars, and their jobs, wherever they are, whatever they're going through, may the Spirit of God help them, Lord. You didn't promise that this way would be easy, but you promised you'd be with us. There's been many times in our journey we did not understand what we were going through. Lord, and I suppose for many of us, it's your silence that we don't understand many times. When we're going through things and we pray and we ask you, we ask for an answer. We ask for understanding. We ask for help. And it's as if though you are silent and you turn a deaf ear to us. And of course, every time you do, then Satan pipes up and starts talking, making his lies and accusations. Lord Jesus, thank you for that something in us that keeps us, Lord. I'm reminded of your prophet when he stood there before his wife in her casket. And he said, Satan began to talk to him. He said, God was silent, wouldn't say nothing. He said, if God wouldn't say nothing, the devil would. And the devil said, look at you. You're a sap. Look at you.
all the people you ever knew laugh at you, made fun of you? What have you done? Go out and preach, pray for the sick, get in early of a morning, sit down in a chair and get up and climb up a pole. He don't have to speak. He wouldn't even have to look this way. He could move for the words he had. This is how much he loves you now. And the prophet said, well, I was about ready to say, well, if that's the way he is. But he said, friends, that was a tie post. I was about ready to say, well, if that's the way he is, I'll just turn away. But he said, thank God there was something down in there, or we would have never known each other in this life. Praise God. Lord Jesus, the devil tells us we're all going to swell up. We're going to die. We're going to start feeling this deadly poison, this pain. All this stuff that's going on. If we're not careful, our faith will bring them lying symptoms to reality. We're going to feel a little twitch of pain. Oh God, here it comes. Lord, I pray you would help us. We're going to believe one thing or the other. We're going to believe his lies with his poison darts, or we're going to believe your truths. Paul gives us a remedy for the poison darts of the devil, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In reality, every time I've ever got hit with one of them darts, it's when I have dropped my shield. If they'll be honest tonight, every time they've ever got hit and got cold and got indifferent, it's when they drop their shield. But thank you that mercy said no. We deserve death. Now it was lazy, it was slothful. We let the shield down and everything. The poison started in our body. But divine sovereignty stepped in and said, no, devil, you can't have him. He's mine. You can't have her. She's mine. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for moving for us over and over again. It makes us love you so much. Lord, maybe there's some here tonight that's been bitten by that viper as it was, or that poison dart has hit them. Some disease, some sickness. Lord, maybe even not through a fault of their own, just being a human, being in this day, exposed to chemicals and all kinds of stuff around us everywhere. And we know the doctor's saying, oh, so much of that stuff causing cancer. And we're exposed to it daily. Lord, maybe through no fault of our own, that dart's hit us. Maybe in our back, in our heart, in our feet. May the Spirit of God come on the scene. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you tonight, Father. May we be able to shake that serpent off in the fire. Not so we'll be some great something. Not so people will look at us and think we're something. But so they can look at you and know that you're a mighty God. Paul didn't start a Pauline church there. He didn't start a Paul worshiping church. He started a Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized apostolic church on the island of Malta. Praise be to God. May that be the results of our lives, Father. We love you, Lord. Would you do me a favor tonight? Would you turn and lay your hand on the individual standing by you? Can we offer a word of prayer? Maybe that person by you hasn't been bit by a viper of disease or sickness. Maybe it's oppression. Maybe it's sadness, just an old spirit of heaviness that's on them. Maybe it's their children. Only God knows what it is. Oh my. May you take your shield of faith. Maybe they're weak tonight. That thing has hit them between the shoulders as it was, and it's really affected them. They don't seem like they got the strength to fight against it. May you join your faith. We're going to pray together for one another. Lord Jesus, your word says these signs shall follow them that believe. We lay our hands one upon the other now, Lord. Lord God, as the minister, the shepherd, I ask you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, as our brother spoke to us last Wednesday night, that name of the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, it's that mighty rod. We hold it over our sickness tonight, our disease, our affliction. May the name of Jesus judge that disease and say,
You are condemned, sickness. You are condemned, cancer. You are condemned, depression, lies of the devil. You are condemned, you discouraging evil spirit that will try to drive us away from the presence of God. You have no hold on my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the Spirit of God, I pray, anoint our hearts. Anoint our face, O Lord. Hallelujah. May the Spirit of God surge through our faith, as it were, Lord God. Lord, we may feel that deadly poison that's trying to paralyze our faith and paralyze our belief in the power of the gospel. But may there be a resurging of the Spirit of God, of that blood, that other blood that flows in our veins spiritually, that blood of the Lord Jesus. And may it be so rich it'll overpower that poison of the enemy. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Anoint our faith tonight, Lord God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We look to you tonight, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know how to heal a snake bite, don't you? God produced a remedy for how to heal a snake bite 2,000 years ago. God took a snake and put it on a cross. Jesus Christ was that serpent on the pole. So if you look to that serpent on the pole, that's the way you're healed. That's the way to be healed of a snake bite. Makes no sense. It makes no sense. So you put a serpent on a pole, and you look at a serpent on a pole, and you are healed of your serpent bite. So God let Christ Jesus hang upon that cross, that pole, and laid our sins upon Him. And He, by resemblance, became that serpent on the pole. Brass. Sin already judged. Then you look at Him and you deem Him worthy. You deem Him righteous. You deem Him your healer. And as you look by the eyes of faith, you are healed of your snake bite. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. You are healed of your snake bite. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Harry, sing a little something. I know school started back and I'll try not to keep you too long, but I just can't preach and let you go home. Oh, we've got to worship a little bit on Wednesday before we go. My, aren't you glad for church on Wednesday night?
Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Oh, through it all, through it all,
through the shipwreck, stay by.
I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Oh, I've learned to trust in the mighty God.
Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've had many tears and sorrow, had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. Every situation, God gave blessed consolation, that through all of my trials, He made me strong. trust in Jesus.
And my world, He's a mighty
God.
Moments the streaming will shut down. The CD will stop recording. People will log off at home. We'll walk out these doors. Service will be closed. But one day we'll meet this service again. I'll have to stand and answer for what I've said. I trust what I said was pleasing to you. I trust it was a blessing, a help, an encouragement to your people. Father God, I pray when we've all gathered around your great table that day, I don't know what we're saying. I don't know what we'll say. But it may be in resemblance to overcomers as they've come through great battles and trials and tests. It may be something similar to the very words we're saying here tonight. Through it all. Through it all. Through the pressure from without, the trouble from within, the stones thrown at us all over the internet, all over YouTube, people calling us all kinds of things. From the difficulties we deal with in the message, from the difficulties within our own church or within our own families, through it all, you'll help us, Lord Jesus. We believe you, Father. But Lord, I think you've helped us tonight to see that's only part of the story. Not only do we believe in you, but you believe in us. And it's not so much our flesh, but the prophet said you believed your word. Glory to God. So it's not so much our flesh that you have confidence in. It is your word in our souls that you believe in. You know our flesh is weak. You know our flesh how it is. It ain't that you look at, oh, I got so much confidence in Donnie's flesh. But you look at that representation, that word. I've got confidence in that. That's my boy. That's my son. That's one of my attributes. I believe him. I trust him. I have confidence in him. Praise God. Go with us tonight, Lord. Bring us back, I pray, this weekend, if it be pleasing to you, for another great time at your table. We love you, Father. As we dismiss from this place, but not from your presence. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints of God said,
amen.
God bless you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Been good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you, saints. I love you. Go in the strength of God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.